After countless steps and more than a few miles, your dog drives you forward one last time to make that final climb. And as the rising sun peeks out from the horizon, you know, incredible happens here because it starts here with the fuel that makes it all possible, Pro Plan Sport. Discover advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours at ProPlansport.com.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. From the Gotham Podcast Studio, it's episode 81 of the Ain't Hard to Tell Podcast. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca.
Yep.
And returning for the second time this year.
Hello.
If you're listening, maybe you know that voice. If you're watching,
maybe
you should know this face. It's Kimberly Martin, NFL writer. I hate messing up people's title. Senior.
See?
Just like Howard Beck, I had to put the senior.
I worked hard for that senior. Do not.
Yo, Howard Beck said the same thing.
He did. Sure for it. He also said it made him sound old. So, but no, we're young enough that we're just like.
Oh, no, I'm definitely still young. Yeah.
Still young, yes. Senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. How's it going, Kim?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, good. We're glad you came back and actually wanted to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants
to come back. Well, why wouldn't I?
Everybody wants to come back, but not everybody can come back.
Yeah.
Listen,
so you're in a very special club.
See?
Twice in 4 months. That is
special. That's impressive.
That's love.
Yeah. You won't see me again probably, but I made time now. Let me just, okay?
Well, it's funny because we talked about that before. We're like, when we get you again, it's going to have to be in the off season.
Yeah.
And we tried to get Kim here before the draft, but like things didn't work out with either of our schedules. We just were too busy. Mm-hmm. But Kim had a little bit of downtime, which I'm sure you needed and need because been very busy.
Yeah.
How was the NFL offseason? Because since we last saw you, it's like a lot has happened.
Yeah, man. Because it's crazy. Fans just think about the season itself.
Yeah.
But it's like from January to February, you know, even in January, you got the NFL playoffs, and then you've got the Senior Bowl, and then you've got the Super Bowl, and then you got the Combine, and then you got free agency, and then you got the draft. So it's like, especially a place like Yahoo where, you know, when you're a beat writer, you only care like who would the Jets target? Who would mm-hmm. the Giants target? But when you're at Yahoo now, it's national, like, you got to be thinking about, okay, Cardinals, 49ers, like how is the draft, you know, like Yahoo, we did we taped a mock draft show and going through every pick and it's like, wow, this is the first time you really have to, that's been the challenge, like getting a feel for not just the organizations that you're familiar with, everybody else. So it's been crazy. The offseason is still happening. I mean, like I just got back from Cleveland last week and, you know, it's weird that it's like, you just get the draft is like the beginning of the new season, but we still have so much time until training camp and meaningful games.
Yeah,
so.
Rookie camp and then OTAs and mini camp.
It never stops, man. Goodell has made this so we never stop writing. That's a good thing, I guess.
I guess it's a good thing. But you're getting a little bit of a break. So it's
a little bit.
It's good enough. How fun was it doing those mock draft shows on Yahoo? Because the production level looked fantastic, so it looked fun.
I'm going to say thank you from my producer. No, thank you. that was fun because that podcast, it was our three NFL writers, myself, Therese Paylor, and Charles Robinson, on the same desk as our college writers. So Dan Wetzel and Pete Thamel and Pat Forty. So you have those heavy hitters. We had a fantasy guy, Andy Behrens, and we had a host, Michelle. So it was cool. It was cool. It was the first time I've ever had to do something like that. you know, big time studio, and but we all gave our mock draft predictions, and it's weird because you know that they're gonna be trade ups, trade backs,
right?
So when you're trying to do the mock draft, this was the first time I had to do my own. So you know that this is the guy. If I was this general manager, this is the guy I would take. But you're also like, but I also know some of these guys. You know, this might be the team that's just going to go after some kid because he might, you know, that boom or bust guy. Like, I think this is the kind of team that would take a chance on that, you know. So it was fun. It was fun. I definitely.
How accurate was your mock? Yeah, because that's the question.
Did you have Daniel Jones going to the Giants?
I did, but I had him going to the Giants. I did, but I had him going at 17.
Okay.
Oh, like because you valued him smarter than another GM. But,
yeah, I don't like that we don't account for trades in mock drafts, though. I will say that
it's
because you know they're going to happen, especially
they're
in the NBA.
They're
going
to happen, right. And it's hard to even predict like which team,
where, what's the trade.
When.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's funny. A couple guys I mocked to the right team, like I think Hollywood Brown I mocked to the Ravens, right? But for some reason, I don't know if I had, like, there's some guys that I had them mocked to the right team, but like at different picks, like the Raiders and stuff like that. So it's you want to say, like, are you accurate or not? I don't know, because it really wasn't.
You kind of are accurate, but not really.
You know what I mean?
Right. I think that still counts, though, if it's a mock draft. That's a hard
It's hard.
How much of that, because this is interesting, because I haven't really thought about this before, but how much of that is you getting, you know, what you're hearing, information you're hearing from teams, how much they like a guy. So, for example, you had Daniel Jones, right, even though he went at 6 and not 17.
Yeah.
So you kind of had how much they liked him, but the valuation of where they would actually take
him
was different.
It's funny because pre-draft, you heard a lot of Dwayne Haskins chatter with the Giants.
Yep. Yeah.
And I knew that the Giants were trying to oversell that. And that was them trying to make it seem like, oh, we really love this kid. We love this Haskins guy. We really love this Haskins guy. You know, so.
That's interesting.
So I thought Daniel Jones would be the target. Now, I figured Daniel Jones, he wasn't a kid that would start right away. The evaluations that I got on him, and a lot of these quarterbacks, besides Kyler Murray, a lot of these quarterbacks, it's like depending on who you talk to, like a lot of people felt like Daniel Jones, like it was like a couple people thought like he had the highest ceiling of the guys.
Really?
Right. Hmm. You talk to somebody else, like he's a dog. He's no good. He's a bum. And you're like, okay.
So you're kind of like, where does he fit
what
in?
What the hell? Nice. And then you talk about Dwayne Haskins, and people be like, oh. By far, best prospect in this QB class outside of Kyler, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to somebody else, like, yeah, okay, like when the pocket breaks down and he's got to make decisions, I'm not really feeling it. So it literally is within every team, there's disagreements on who, you know, between how the scouts see them, the GM, and everything like that. But with the Giants, I was always given the impression it was Daniel Jones. Hmm. Now, I thought at 6, the Giants were a team that had a lot of holes that they had to fix. And at 6, you can get a marquee guy, especially on the defensive line or edge rusher or something like that. And Daniel Jones, to me, it's sort of like you sold us on Eli's the guy, right? Mm-hmm. So you're telling me the priority is not getting a starting quarterback right now. That's what, like, you passed on the quarterbacks last year, took Saquon Barkley. Okay, this year we're gonna take Daniel Jones at 6. You know, like
that was the correct tone, by the way.
You know what I mean? Like that. Like I was sort of like, wait, what?
Yeah, I think, but I think, right, and even because your mock had him at 17.
Because at 17, it tells me this kid's good. We believe in this kid as a quarterback.
Yeah.
He needs some work, but he has the tools to be, because he's still a first-round pick, right? So at 6, though, I felt like, now, again, let me preface this by saying, I am all for teams saying, going all in on a quarterback. You may not be right.
Yeah.
So on some level, as much as I'm killing the pick,
I don't think you're killing the pick, though.
I mean, I'm not trying to. I just thought that I really think they could have gotten him late. Like, I don't think they needed to use 6 on him. If you're telling me, as Dave Gettleman is, because I was there, I was at the Giants on day one of the draft, and he was like, you know, full bloom love, you know, in love with Daniel Jones. Like, we saw him at Senior Bowl, and I was like, that kid has it. If you're telling me that, we can argue over the scouting, and we can argue over what you're seeing versus what I'm seeing, but I love that you love this kid. But it just seemed a little strange that you sold us on Eli. Still, we can still win with Eli. Da 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 da. And now at six, you've left yourself in a position where, no, Daniel Jones has to be the guy, and he has to be good, because not only did you pass on a quarterback when you had Baker and you had Sam Darnold and you had Josh Rosen and Allen, so you passed on a quarterback then to wait this year, and then next year the quarterbacks are supposed to be better than this year's class. Yep. And not saying that they can't take a quarterback next year, but it's sort of like, what the hell? You could have used the sixth pick on a different – and now you look at that defensive line and edge rushers, and you're like, okay, well, who's getting after the quarterback? Now, taking a step back, if you're a Giants fan, maybe you feel like, okay, at least Gettleman sees it like, I've got the future of the franchise. I mean
– he better.
Shoot, they look exactly the same. So, I mean, he's got – you know what I mean? He's got Eli 2.0. That's what he's hoping. If he's trying to sell fans on like, this is part of the plan, okay, let's see it. But he's gotta be sure that Daniel works out
I'm with you on that. At six, he's got to be sure he's got.
People are saying that Daniel Jones looks like he would play Eli Manning in a movie. So
Kim's
not wrong.
His introductory press conference, I think I even wrote in one of my columns, like, it was like looking in a mirror almost. Like, you just see like the tall, kind of lanky, like mop of brown hair. It's like, you know.
Doesn't say too much.
Has
a face.
He handled memeable it. Face. Yeah, he handled all the questions in a very ho hum sort of. Mm-hmm. This is what you say. I'm not going to make waves with anything I say.
Oh, quarterback speech.
You know.
Yeah.
It's almost like the same guy.
So let me ask this, because when I look at that pick and we talk about where they took him, mm-hmm. and you look at Haskins. And I don't remember where you had him in your mock, Haskins specifically, or how you felt about him as a player. Because I feel like it's tough to ask the NFL writers when they're not looking at it in the same way the college guys are.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of just going off of what you know while watching the sport that you cover. Do you think there's any bias to why the Giants may have passed on Haskins there? The Giants have never had a black quarterback
as a starter, Geno.
Because I've seen this brought up in certain places.
People bring it up.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to question.
Especially after all these years?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
People definitely bring it up. And people in league circles have said it. Like, non-Giants people have mentioned, you know. Hmm. Now, they'll say it in, like, a conversation or a text message, like, you really think they're going to take, you know.
Right.
But there's no, I mean.
So people were down they would even take Haskins before the draft game.
Wow.
Like, were they questioning, like, you really think this is going to go down? Or
yeah, you know, I've had people say, but it's almost in, sometimes you're like, is that in jest? You know? That's a big accusation to lodge at a franchise.
Absolutely.
But there's a reason people wonder it, because they haven't.
And Geno Smith being the one is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that situation, it was just not a good situation.
Nope.
Yeah. I don't think for Geno going to another New York team, you know what I mean, would have been good for him.
Well, let me unpack that in terms of the taking out of the Giants, right? Because the outside way of kind of looking at it, too, is like you have this black quarterback who has some athleticism, but actually looks pretty decent in terms of throwing the ball as a pocket passer. Maybe sort of, I don't want to compare him to Jameis Winston, but kind of in that
Gina?
Way. No, Haskins.
I was like, oh.
No. You should have reached across the table and slapped
him. No, because I will say, covering Geno, he threw a pretty ball. Like, he can throw. Yeah.
We also stood in the sidelines and saw Tim Tebow throw the ball, and that's a whole other story.
I also watched him hit a guy in the helmet with a pass once. Anyway.
Yeah, that day.
Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Dietrich Epps, was that? I got. Yeah, and the guy, like, he threw it. A guy, I think, tore his ACL in the play.
What?
If I'm thinking right, I have seen him hit a guy in the helmet. I'm trying to think in a game if a guy got injured.
Oh, was it a game?
I'm trying, like, oh, okay. I feel like I've seen enough, like,
I saw enough throws in practice where I was just like,
but it's okay. Tebow's moved on. He's moved on to his other sport, so good for him.
He's about to be a New York Met.
Stop it.
Like, in the major league level.
Stop it. Stop.
Texas is a Met fan.
But what I'm saying, getting back to what I was saying is, you got Haskins. He kind of, you know, sometimes we've seen it more. Athletic, can't get the ball downfield, can't stand in the pocket and throw. Black quarterbacks get, you know, lower. We saw what happened to Lamar Jackson. He ended up getting picked a lot later. Haskins looked like he could get picked pretty high. You thought a team like the Giants may take him. He kind of fit the mold of maybe not those other quarterbacks.
He's not super athletic. Like, he's not. He doesn't fit that. If there was going to be the black quarterback that traditional pocket passer, this is your guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
And then you take a guy. I don't mean to cut you off, but then you take a guy from who played, you know, at Duke. I saw play some in the ACC, and as a Pitt fan, I was not impressed with what I saw from him, to be completely honest with you. And I don't watch a whole bunch of college football, but I wasn't impressed with him. And I would say I was way more impressed with what I saw from Haskins. So I look at it, it's like, why are you not taking Haskins? And I just wonder out loud, is race a factor there?
I'm sure there are people that wonder the same thing. I haven't.
It's not for you to answer.
I haven't gotten the indication that, like, there's legit where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. Like ding ding ding, that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, I didn't believe the Haskins hype. So to me, them not taking him wasn't like a surprise to me. It really was like, it's like, okay, they're going to take Daniel Jones. I bet you if they're going to take a quarterback, they're going to take Daniel Jones. So taking him at six, though, that's why I was like, okay, because now what's so weird is, like, we're crowning this kid the Eli apparent, and Eli's still, but we're saying that we can win with Eli. Eli can get us, like, we can be competitive with Eli. But we're also ushering in this new era with Daniel Jones, who looks like Eli's doppelganger. It is just like really, it's just really.
It's like
strange.
The football version of us.
Well, what do you actually think of Daniel Jones from an analysis standpoint? Now that you've seen what you've had to see and things of that nature.
I mean, it's hard because, again, I don't get paid to evaluate guys, right? College athletes and stuff like that. So. But I also know a lot of guys who get paid to evaluate college athletes, and they're not good at it either, right?
So, wow, all right.
You know what I mean? No, that's not shocking. It's
hit or miss.
I mean, based on what I saw coming out of Duke, like, I was not overly impressed. Like, I didn't, like, he's got, you know, okay, so he's got a decent arm, okay.
Size. Stuff like that.
You know, if he's super smart in the classroom and he can read a defense real quick and he can be accurate, okay. You put a good line in front of him, all right.
I could see him being decent.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there are a lot of prospects out there. It really depends on the situation you go to.
Yeah.
So definitely. As much as, I'm not really sold on Daniel Jones, but my opinion doesn't matter as much as Gettleman's opinion because his job is dependent on Daniel Jones.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And to your point, Dexter, those noises of, you know, the Giants allegedly being racist and things like that, they're only going to get louder if Haskins is good in 4 years and
Daniel
Jones
That's
it.
I will say the interesting thing is Haskins being in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones on the Giants, you know, it's like theoretically you could see these kids for several years playing against each other in the same division. That, to me,
head-to-head, is
really fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Even though didn't Gettleman say Daniel Jones is going to sit for a while? Or at least that's the plan?
Okay, so I was there for that presser. He said, we might adopt the, like, Kansas City, like, Green Bay model. Like, sit for 3 years.
On a four-year contract?
When you pick somebody at six?
On a four-year contract?
So, but here's the thing. What I feel like Gettleman, part of me is like, is he just screwing with the meat? Does he just enjoy that? Or is he just trying to give himself wiggle room every which way he possibly can? Because there's no way you take this kid at six and tell me he's going to sit for 3 years. Like, to me, that's BS. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, so why are we even going down that road of saying it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it possible? I guess anything is possible, but that's not why you took that kid at six. If you took him at six and tell me you want to sit him for 3 years, then I will tell you you should not have your job.
I wouldn't bet on Eli Manning having 3 years left either.
No.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and if he's trying to take pressure off the kid, to your point you made earlier, the pressure's actually already on the kid.
Well, now, taking him at six tells me
yes,
that's the guy. We have no questions. I am in love. Let's go.
Yes, that's how I look at it. And that
I would say that about any first
that rounder. to me there is the pressure, right? Like, it's not, this isn't media created, this isn't fan created. That is it right there. You guys took him at six. I think
when you had two picks already in the first round and you take him with the first one, you know what I mean?
And like over another guy who Dwayne Haskins, who we talked about.
Right. So. And to Kimberly's point, it really does matter how Gettleman feels about him. He could feel higher on Jones than Haskins. I happen to disagree based on what I saw. But again, I don't get paid the big bucks.
Right. His plan has to work, really. Like, he keeps saying, he gets mad, like, oh, you guys, like, you know, people, I'll get the last laugh kind of thing because people want to say I don't have a plan. Well, you know, I have a plan. Okay. Well,
his
we're going
to
see
thing
it.
Is basically wait and see.
It ain't hard to tell where to get the latest merchandise from Backpack Broadcasting. Gear is now available via TeePublic. Visit the Backpack Broadcasting TeePublic online store to get shirts, hoodies, mugs, and phone cases. Represent your favorite Backpack Broadcasting shows, including The Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, and of course, the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Check out the special offers for our podcast listeners at http://t.pub/lic/backpack. Get in the game with your official Backpack Broadcasting gear today.
What do you think about Gettleman's plan and the way he's done everything from trading Odell to where they're headed now with the draft and their offseason? What do you think of his plan?
Because it's not just this offseason.
It started last
year with getting rid of Snacks and Eli Apple at the trade deadline and stuff, and Olivier Vernon. Or you could say it starts with him taking Saquon. You know, you could say the plan starts with taking Saquon. You get rid of high-priced guys, all defensive guys. And then now you come into this year, you take Daniel Jones. I mean, to me, all of the moves, including the giving Odell an extension and then trading Odell, like all of it together doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me to pay Odell the $90 million or whatever. It didn't, with like 65 guaranteed or whatever. It did not. I was not one of those people. In fact, I got a lot of crap from Giants fans last year because I was like, the Giants need to decide if they can win with Odell, right? Make a decision and then like stand by that. If you don't think you can win with him, then trade him by the deadline. Get rid of him because it doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like the Giants did a lot of this talking about, like, critiquing Odell in the media, but then like when the media would critique Odell, they would defend him, and it's sort of like, what is it? Like, you're mad that the media is talking about his dehydration issues and IV, or all the little antics that he does with the kicking net and the peeing like a dog. Like, you're mad about that and you defend him, but then something else happens with Odell, and then you want to send a message to him through the media. It's sort of like, just make a decision. So I'm not surprised that they got rid of him. I think a lot of people around the league were like, yo, they got fleeced on that deal. Like, they didn't get enough from the Browns.
I think they did.
But if you're the Giants and you feel like, listen, we just kind of want to get rid of him, okay, but then why are we even giving him the money to begin with? Because he had 3 months of good behavior, I guess, or since the pizza and with the girl and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like to me, it seemed very un-Gettleman-like to give all that money, because the thing about Gettleman is like, he was the guy that players didn't like because he didn't want to pay big stars a ton of money. He didn't felt like he needed to. So to give Odell that money seemed like, that's odd. Okay. I guess they think they can win with him. Then the rumors of they're looking to trade. It's like, well, what are we doing? Who said Odell should get this money? Is that Mara? Did Mara say, like, let's just, maybe this is the thing. Giving him this money will make him feel like, okay, he'll have nothing to be, like, complained about anymore. And, you know.
Did you think they can win with him? prior to him getting the money?
No. Okay. I did not think they could win with him because I didn't think Odell was happy.
Well, I can...
You know what I'm saying? And he made that clear, right?
He did.
He did make that clear. So, to me, it's sort of like... And you were losing with him.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't won a playoff game since he's been a Giant. And I'm not saying that's Odell's fault. I'm saying since Odell has been with the Giants, they went to the playoffs once, and they got embarrassed by Green Bay, you know, after the whole Miami shirtless thing and then running around shirtless in Green Bay pregame. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so to me, it's like the Giants have lost with him. It didn't, based on the comments, if you listen to Shurmur, like, I never got the feeling that Shurmur felt like, okay, like, Odell is good. Like, I never got that feeling that everybody was on board with Odell. I didn't get the feeling that Eli and Odell were great. And that was before Odell went out and criticized Eli. So to me, I never felt like it was a marriage that worked. So find out what the issue is. Like, and so I felt like it was disjointed to give him the money and then say, we didn't give him that money to trade him. And then, oh, look, traded him.
That does happen. That happened. We saw that happen with Giancarlo Stanton, for example. We knew the Miami Marlins weren't going to keep him, and they traded him 1 year into a 13-year deal to the Yankees. I think that it's possible that Odell Beckham just got signed so then they could trade him like 1 or 2 years into the new contract.
I guess, Kimberly, and I would put words in your mouth, your point is that they – I won't say they lied to the people, but you kind of sold them a thing of like, hey, this guy's going to be our future, and then he's not. And I will say I do think you're right about the him not being happy, them not being happy with him.
Yeah.
He wasn't. I know that too. And it just doesn't make sense to me. But to Gettleman's plan, if you're going back to all that, it seems very, when I'm looking from the outside looking in at the Giants, it seems very dysfunctional.
It seemed very disjointed, and it seemed like... moves individually you could explain, I guess, right? But when you look at the collective, it was almost like, okay, we didn't think the quarterbacks last year were good. Like, to the point, like, we aren't considering any of those quarterbacks. But this, knowing, like, last year, no good. Next year should be better.
Supposed to be really good.
But this is the year we're going to get this guy. So, okay. I personally would not have done it that way. Yep. But... again, all that matters to Giants fans is that this man knows what he's doing. So hopefully, for the fans' sake, I hope for them, Daniel Jones ends up being the Eli apparent stays in that gig for 16 years or whatever it is. Because other than that, I mean, now you're just back to square one, needing to find a new face.
What do you think of the guy who went number one in Kyler Murray and what he can do for the Cardinals?
See, I understood. I think the kid could be special, right? I understood why for the Cardinals, that was one of those before Kingsbury even took the deal. Like, it's understood, like, we're hiring you and that's our pick. Mm-hmm. So the Cardinals do, we're calling around Quinn and Williams and letting them know.
You're like, nah, man,
it's like, why are you wasting minutes? Why are you wasting
people's... every NFL writer was saying that.
It's like, what are we doing? The NFL clearly wants intrigue, but as long as you don't say, we're taking Kyler Murray, you just don't have to do the extra stuff of like, who knows? We haven't made a decision.
I like that.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, that shifty move dance.
So, I mean, that was just stupid. The
shifty move?
No. The shifting by them.
Step by step, like China, like they're going to like surprise us. And the fact that right before the draft, like, and some NFL writers were even tweeting like, oh, there's rumors that the Cardinals aren't even taking Kyler. It could be a surprise. And it's like, what are we doing? And
you're like, yo, I know better.
But it's just like this is the stuff about the draft that drives me nuts. But, I mean, to me, Kyler, I think he's – I don't want to say boom or bust because I think the kid could be really special, right?
Are you concerned about his size?
I am. But to me, it's like his ability to just run around and his ability to escape pressure, like they need that. Like this was a team, like he can mask a lot of issues on the roster. When you have a lot of holes, like if your O-line isn't great, like, okay, when the pocket breaks down, Kyler, you don't have to worry about him standing like a deer in headlights and being like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? Like, he's going to take off. You know, there's always that next level adjustment. And it's so defenses are unlike anything you've seen in college, whether you're playing at an Alabama or a Clemson. Like, yes, those are phenomenal programs. But on the NFL level, like, these coaches, I mean, their job is like, they are going to stop you. So I think I like them picking him at one. It always made sense to me. I think he has the unique skill set as a passer, runner, just like shifty, athletic guy. But the question, I know a lot of people question like, okay, but does he love? Like some personnel guys were like, I wouldn't touch him because I don't believe he loves football.
Because of his playing baseball before? That's kind of
And it was never like, same reason people, some personnel guys still kill Josh Rosen. Like, they're like, you know what? Mm. I don't want anything to do with him because, like, it's that tennis mentality, that baseball mentality where it's like, it's all about, like, everything, like, it's my batting average. Like, it's just me in, you know, like, standing there, and it's all about, like, do I make contact with the ball? Like, football, it's about, it's not, it can't just be about you. It's got to be about everybody else. When you're playing tennis, it's just you out there and the opponent. Like, everything hinges on you. But in football, it's the complete opposite. Now, I hope that both those kids, like, I think how the Cardinals did Josh Rosen, I think they did him dirty as far as they, I mean, not only did they do the phony, like, we're not taking Kyler Murray. You know, at the combine, they were like, you know, Kingsbury was like, Josh, like, he's a smart guy. I could see him in our system. I mean, I guess you could see him in your system, but you don't want him in your system. Like, that's really, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, felt like they put out, the Cardinals had put out, like, a video of players or whatever, pitch, and, like, Rosen wasn't in it. And it's sort of like,
yeah.
And then when people pointed it out, they, like, stuck him in. It was just like, yo, just, like, move, like, you know what I mean? And I felt,
if you're going to be in, be all the way with, like, right, whatever you're doing.
I just,
people tell him it's raining.
I feel like players just want complete transparency and honesty. You know, we get on players, not we, but I feel like a lot of fans get on players about loyalty, and you're supposed to play out your contract, and you're supposed to be all in. So organizations are the ones who give out the contracts. Should they not honor the contract? It's like they literally took him at 10 in the draft.
Yep.
And had Steve Wilks as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Fired Steve Wilks.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're on to another quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just,
and why should Josh Rosen be made to look bad when all the stuff you just mentioned make the organization
bad? Why do I always tell you loyalty is overrated?
He always says that.
It is from a sports perspective.
That's what I mean.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, if
yes, you're not saying not to be loyal to the people you love.
Right.
No, have that for fans. It's like, have that same energy when you're criticizing the teams versus the player. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
You know, that bothers me. So,
well, a lot of people are just, it's weird that in sports, that's the place where a lot of people are for the organization.
It's weird that people ride with the billionaires.
Yes.
100
over the millionaires.
They have, yes. Because fans have bought into the jersey.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of the
we
people.
We just talked about this in the podcast.
Oh, boy, I went on a rant about this.
It bothers me like no other, because it's like these are, because fans see athletes and think they all, one, the
they
mistake.
Just see numbers.
They all think they're millionaires, which is
it's not true, right?
Right.
But that's their misconception.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
jealous.
I make, you know, however many thousands of dollars I make in my regular 9-to-5. Like, if I made those kind of millions, you wouldn't, like, I would show up for free. Like, I just love the game, da-da-da-da-da. But they're not taking into consideration that NBA and NFL, baseball, all different.
Yep.
All different. And to criticize NFL players on top of that, you know, that bothers me more, because their careers, people think that they can play for 10 years. That's not true.
Can I say this?
Most of them play,
same
like
thing,
3 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And once they're done,
yep,
what are they doing? Like, you may complain about that 9-to-5 that you have, but you could work till you're 60.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys have a very finite window to make as much money as they can, and they deserve. They're not here because they should feel lucky that they got a job. It's like, they worked for it. They worked for it.
But the attitude is that they should feel lucky that they.
But that's
that
the problem.
From people,
and that's
it's
why,
a privilege.
And that's
like,
why a lot of conservative sports fans are very jealous of athletes in minority-driven sports.
And it's funny, I'm glad you kind of brought this up, because
So am I.
Way podcasts ago, and this was way after we talked to you and you were last on here. And I think you wrote about this, and I think I remember reading a piece. You wrote about Le'Veon Bell and his situation. Mm-hmm. If you could explain for our listeners, I think you and I pretty much were on the same page mm-hmm. in that we thought what he did and the stance, I guess you could say, he took, regardless of the money, mm-hmm. you may think he won or lost, was important. And there was a lot of criticism, people and Steeler fans I talked to and people I know were like, oh, he shouldn't have done this. You know, right. How ungrateful is he to not do this? And then right. he went to the Jets. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on what he did and how all that played out?
So I am all for – I'm somebody who's all for players doing what's best for them, same. Right?
Same. I want to say something real quick. If people are so mad at people switching jobs, do you know how mad people would be at you?
Yo,
they'd be so mad at you.
They'd be so mad at you. People are mad.
Why? It's Kimberly Martin's life.
I already told you it's jealousy.
I already told you.
Like Kimberly Martin had three jobs in 18 months.
I will speak for you. I will speak for you and say that it's jealousy.
I don't know. All right,
some people don't have options.
Because you talked about 9-to-5s and regular jobs and not being a millionaire, and you were an example of somebody who had.
I had a 9-to-5 and I went, you know, but my thing is, I don't think it's jealousy. I don't know. For each person could be different.
I'll say it's in part jealousy.
I think because I am counterculture. Like, what I did is not, that doesn't happen in our business. It's like in the media landscape where jobs are few and far between,
right.
there's a feeling of like, we are lucky to have jobs. And this heifer is going to walk around and jump from job to job. What's she doing?
I was like, jump higher.
But I think... It's all about leverage and it's all about
right.
understanding, doing what works for you, right? Yeah. And understanding that in this short time, this is the opportunity in front of me. Now for Le'Veon,
yes.
I don't necessarily like some of the things he said or how he's acted as far as like or things he says in interviews sometimes, like you know, I felt like the end of his Pittsburgh run could have been handled better on his end. And I also think I was also kind of ticked the players in the locker room where it was like talking about what's in his pockets. It's sort of like, wait a minute, I thought as athletes, why are we not all sticking together? Why are you guys not sticking mm-hmm. together and saying like, listen, rule number one, we don't discuss what's in another man's pocket. He's not here. Okay, whatever. Mm. So I thought that was interesting and weird and unsettling, right? But at the end of the day, I may not have handled the situation like Le'Veon, but as I wrote, man can do whatever he wants, and he should, because if he feels like he isn't respected, if he feels in Pittsburgh he wasn't making what he should have been making, and the Steelers are an organization where, you know, a lot of the guaranteed money, they like to put it up front in, like, year one. Like, it's not like year three you can get, you know what I mean?
They don't ever do that.
So I understand... Mm-hmm. You know, guys that are there being frustrated by how they set up their contracts, right? But really, Le'Veon, he's done this. So it's almost like I'm not trying to compare myself to Le'Veon at all. But you make these moves, okay, now go kill it, because people are going to be looking at you like, you did all that
for
what now?
What?
You know what I mean? And I had agents, agents texted me when the deal was the 4-year, 52.5, whatever he got from the Jets, like, ugh. Because him not playing last year, he didn't make the franchise amount.
Yep.
It was like 15, 16, whatever it was. So he did not get that. So agents were like, he screwed himself out of that money that he cannot recoup. But on the flip side, he didn't play for a year.
And he might be you're healthy in a position that's extremely taxing.
And he got more guaranteed money.
That part of it was something I was trying to argue with somebody on Facebook, and that's why.
On Facebook, of all things.
Yeah, no.
Why don't you just go on Twitter and argue with some people? Because
Twitter's a better place to argue.
I did that last week, and you saw that. Oh, yeah.
I was like, about time. I'm tired of doing this shit myself.
You know what? What did you say to me earlier today, Cam? I'm in a good place. I'm trying to put that negative energy out there. Yeah. I'm in a good place.
Yeah. Arguments aren't negative.
They can be.
They could
with
be.
People on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
I think people ignored the fact that,
He's rested. But here's the thing. He spent all this time away from the Jets right now.
Like now
he's
got to play.
Now, so...
We'll get to them in a second.
Right. It's like, whatever makes Le'Veon Bell... Peak Le'Veon Bell, go ahead, do it.
Right.
But he has put himself
in a position to be
criticized absolutely. Unmercilessly if he
doesn't perform.
Yeah. So it all hinges on Le'Veon. Like, he can do whatever.
I'm never mad at somebody betting
on themselves. I was going to say that. We commend athletes up here for betting because on themselves.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier. Because
you have to do that yourself professionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did it when you made all your moves.
Yeah, and you said forget what everybody else.
When you had your Le'Veon thinks. Thing.
Who, me?
No.
I was like, I had no Le'Veon thing. I was like, I haven't done that. Like you said, we support people making moves mm-hmm. for the best of their situation and what's best for their career. And I agree with you. I think 9 out of 10 people would be with that with regular workers. Even though I do think the thing you bring about in media about us having limited jobs and mm-hmm. we're kind of happy to have the ones we do. That's real.
So when people are like, oh, congrats. Again, and they say it just like that. It's like, I understand that.
Yo, but the opportunity is also limited, which they should understand, right? The opportunity to move up somewhere, do something that's better for yourself is also limited. Right. And when those come about, you got to try to take, you have to try to take them.
Right.
That's just the game. It is what it is. If you're mad about that,
I mean,
man, forget you.
Yeah. And it's not like none of the moves were lateral either.
Right.
So. No, they weren't.
But that's what made them more mad.
Because
Kimberly's like, I'm going to make them more mad. No, they weren't. It wasn't like this. It was like this and this. So it's going higher and higher. You know what I like about that? You're keeping the same energy. There you go.
I mean, I don't begrudge anybody. Like, listen, especially in this biz, the job, we don't know, if, as somebody who started in newspapers.
Yeah.
Fam,
you don't know how long newspaper, you know, will be around. You don't know how long you'll have the, I don't know how long I'll be at Yahoo, but I know while I'm there, I'm going to try to push the envelope, or I'm going to try to push myself to do things that I haven't done. So, you know, I look at it like, I can get fired tomorrow, but I don't regret anything that I've done. Who knows? Maybe I wouldn't be at this table right now if I didn't.
That's not true. That's not true. You're one of my favorite people in the media.
I mean, I've been reading you since Newsday. So, like,
I'm never gonna. I would say that.
Known you for like how long?
So you would have been in this.
So you would have been here. Now, would we have a table to be at?
Yeah, that's the question.
If we didn't bet on ourselves. And that's the problem.
You know what I mean?
Probably the better question. But that's part of it too, right?
Yeah, well,
you know what's funny? I want to shift for a second to like career stuff because you talking about this makes me think about just what you've been through in the last couple of years. I don't say been through, like you've been through some like tragedy or something like that. But just what you've experienced in career.
What you've overcome.
Brian brought up the word jealousy, right?
Kim doesn't want to go here.
I'm not saying it's jealousy. What I would say is...
I'm speaking for you. I'm your hype man. That's what we're doing.
She didn't ask for that.
I'm the hype man here. Jealousy.
Do you feel... people changed in any way around you, or was it harder dealing with people as you didn't make lateral moves and you kind of went up and continue to go up? Do you think things changed in the way people were around you, viewed you as a writer, or maybe judged your work? I wonder just how things change, because I feel things do change somewhat as you do different things in your career and how you possibly could be perceived. But have you felt that?
And were they judging anything beyond your work?
Yeah, you know, but I think we probably talked about this before, but just for me, it's always like, oh, she got another job. Oh, because being a person of color, people looking for diversity now. Oh, look, she got another job. Shocking. Like, you wonder if, like, some of that is in people's mind, too, which is why it's really important for me to be a good writer or try to be an even better writer and like work on that craft, because you never want people to question the legitimacy of your position, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's as a woman too, and as a female of color, it's even more important for me that I don't think I'm like, I'm still, what is it, 7 months maybe at Yahoo? Like I'm still learning how to attack the NFL from a national standpoint, like you know, when it's teams that you like, Green Bay, like I haven't been in that locker room yet, you know what I mean? But it's like, how do you forge relationships with teams that are on the opposite side of the coast, you know? That's stuff that you still have to understand and realize that Yahoo has a national audience, so writing stories that will appeal, like I know at Newsday, like I'm Jets all the time, you know. But to me, like, I still write about the Jets because I'm here. I write about the Giants a lot. So So I don't know. I think for some people, you know, they may question like, why she got to do that? Who's she?
The people aren't watching. The way Kimberly pulled her head back. The voices
are funny. You know, but again, you know, I think that's in my mind too, especially places that, you know, that I've left also. It's like important, like, you know, sort of like, because I have friends tell me all the time, like, yo, I was in this, like, press room. And they were like, why would she leave the Washington Post? Like, that's so crazy. Still, you know, and it's been.
Oh, yeah. You know what the voice is? That's the voice of a hater.
But, you know, so it's still.
The voice of something else.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, it's sometimes I have a hard time even, like, I don't stop long enough to realize, like, holy crap. Like, you moved around a lot, girl. Like, sit your ass still for a second. You know what I mean? Like, you don't. But I think I'm in a good place of okay, this job is challenging me and it's kicking my ass in different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's all good. Like, that's all good. And whether people question whether I'm good or not, I think I've built a reputation. I'm still trying to build a reputation as somebody who is fair. And who's talented and still has a ceiling that she hasn't, you know, come close to reaching, you know? So yeah. I can't, so what I try not to get too caught up in what people say, but I think it's almost like the Baker mentality. Like you said, like people wondering what people expected me to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you kind of use that in a sense as fuel sometimes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But when you're so, you know, when you're focused more on people, what they, the negative stuff they could potentially be thinking or whatever. I think there are enough people that know me in the industry.
Yeah.
And when they see me come into their press room, like now it's like, oh shoot. Like I went to Jets the other day for Gase's introductory press room. It's like, oh, here come the columnists parachuting in. Okay.
But those are my guys.
You know, I think it's more like you get a lot of that playful stuff. I think that's more of the I don't think any of the people that are cool with me and know me well wish me harm or are surprised that okay, you know, she's able to do some good work.
And you know me. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you enjoying doing more on camera stuff now?
Am I enjoying it? I do like it. It is not the natural like element for me. It is just not. It's just not. But I recognize that it's part of the gig now. Like, you have to be able to be on camera. Yeah. So to me, like, it was very important that, like I said, I was in Cleveland recently. It was very important that I was getting on-camera sit-downs with John Dorsey, the GM, and Freddie Kitchen, the head coach, and Jarvis Landry, and getting Baker on camera. That was important because I understand that at Yahoo especially, like, we do video.
Yep.
So if I'm not producing that, you know what I mean? So it's like I'm working to put all that together. Now it's not just – a lot of people that do on-camera interviews, like, they don't have to worry about doing a story. Right. Like, I still have to – like, to me, the video is, like, the extra stuff. Mm. But the video, to me, is important in a different way as well.
Let's transition to Cleveland. What was your time? How was it being out there, spending the time you did out there? They're a team that is now the expectations have gone up on that team. They were 7-8-1 last season.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of people thinking they could challenge in the AFC. What do you think of the team? When I read your piece, it sounds like there's definitely a mindset shift. The players sound very confident, but not overconfident.
No, and it's funny because Dorsey, when we sat down last week, he was like, oh, don't believe the hype, you know, this is a, using the Gettleman line of this is a 3-year, like, you know, because he was like, listen, Kip, we were 7-8-1 and third, and we finished third in the AFC North, right? So this is a 3-year plan. And I was like.
Now your look was like, because look at the players you have in this roster. This isn't a 3-year plan roster right now.
No, it's a 3-year plan to win Super Bowls for the next 3 years.
Stop it.
You should have said that on camera.
I was thinking
because
that too.
The question that I asked him was, Would you? It seems like a very aggressive rebuild that you're trying to carry out right now. Would you agree with that characterization? He was like, actually, I would firmly disagree. That's actually not at all how John Dorsey sounds.
He didn't do that chair shot.
Yeah, but he's like, yeah, actually, he was sitting in a chair like this. He was like, no, Kimberly. Yeah. He was like, yeah, so yeah, chill. Yeah. But he was like, no, I would disagree with that. This is like, we were third in the AFC North. Like, this is a 3-year plan. But to me, the difference is, he and Gettleman got their new jobs the same year. Mm-hmm. Dorsey came in maybe a couple months before Gettleman or something like that.
Yeah.
But same time frame. But look at how we're looking at these two teams, right? Mm. Now, and I'm not saying that Gettleman's plan is, like, Dorsey's plan is the right one versus Gettleman. I'm not saying that. But it's just interesting, two guys that have taken over a sort of rebuild of a franchise in the same amount of time. Now, Dorsey also was like, I see Baker, I'm taking him at one. And during that draft, everybody pre-draft was like, oh, they're taking Darnold. They're taking Darnold. And Dorsey loved that. They love the fact that that little subterfuge, like, oh, everybody thinks we're going. And then right up to the a day or two before, it's like, oh, wait. There are actually rumors that they're taking Baker. They're taking Baker. And what do you know? But so I don't agree with him at all, that this is 100% aggressive.
I think he's just saying that. Though.
He's just saying that because, yeah. and it's funny because when I talked to Kitchens and him, like, Kitchens was sort of like, listen, you know, all you guys in the media talking about, I can't do a Southern Jolly accent.
The voices in this episode's podcast by Kimberly. Like,
who's this now?
I'm almost don't want her to like ever try to imitate me. It's gonna be really bad.
Can you do a Dexter impression?
I cannot do. Nah. Oh, Pitt's number one. Man, get out of here.
Did I laugh too hard at that? That was funny. That was funny.
I'm mad I even brought that up. Like, I just screwed myself.
I'm the one that asked.
you did. I talked about doing voices. Yeah.
But
horrible job, Kimberly. Horrible
job. My bad, Kimberly.
But Dexter does think Pitt is number one.
100%, and he's so wrong. But
wow.
But you
thought she was going to let that slide?
No. But Kitchens is saying, like, the media loves to ask about pressure, right? And
right.
He's like, we're playing football. Come on now. You know? right. But he's like, everybody loves to watch a car crash.
Yes.
Because they slow down and they turn around. And they watch. He's like, there's not going to be a crash here. I'm like, okay. I don't believe that's true. I'm not saying they will crash and burn, but I'm saying they're trying. What they want to do is instill in all these guys, look, F all that individual stuff. Like, you're a team.
Yeah, yeah.
So you cannot come in here thinking you're going to get X amount of catches every game for 100-something-plus yards. Or you're going to run, like, you're going to get the ball for, like, 25 rushes. You know what I mean? Like, we have so many guys, it's about the team concept. And everybody has to sacrifice, right? And now management is trying to, you know, instill that into the team. And understand that, like, if we don't put in the work now, like, forget what happens in the season.
Yeah.
Like, this is where you guys have to bond, get to know each other as a team, because a lot of new guys. I mean, between Kareem Hunt, who's suspended until week 8, but you got Odell, and you got Sheldon Richardson and Vernon. And, you know, it's like, this is why I don't agree with Dorsey. And I think he's, you know, he has to say, you know, we're taking it day by day. Because if you're going to tell the players, focus, win the day. Like, that's their big mantra there. It's like,
win the day.
You know, I get it. Every day, be the best you can be today. I get it. And you gotta, like, repeat that so that guys aren't like, so Odell's not looking at the calendar, like, when do I play so-and-so? Or, like, you know, guys aren't looking too far ahead and mess up the stuff in front of them. Mm. I completely get that. But you do not go out.
What was that?
That was my, I don't believe any of that crap.
Understood.
But you don't, if you're on, in the midst of a rebuild, like 3-year slow build, you don't go out and trade for Odell Beckham. You don't need Sheldon Richardson.
These are win now players.
You know what I'm saying? What? This is like, we've got the quarterback. We are not wasting any of Baker's prime, right?
Especially
like,
that he's cheap. Especially since
right
he's
now. Yeah. And you know he's got to take, and this is one of the things Dorsey said on camera, sort of like in year two, he's like, this kid has to learn how to master the quarterback position. And that's any quarterback going in from year one to year two, because his point was, these guys during pre-draft they're focusing on, they're doing all the stuff they need to do to get drafted. They're not doing anything pre-draft that's centered on winning football games. It's like that happens once you get in the building and everything's being thrown at you. Okay, now you have a full season. All right, got the off season. Now teams got tape on. I mean, they know what you can do now. Mm-hmm. You're not going to surprise anybody. So how do you be better? How do you take that next step? So he's like, okay, Baker's in year two. He's got a lot of growing to do. And not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but he just has to go to the next step.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you surround him with more offensive talent? And while you're at it, go out and get some pass rushers. Get some corners. Really beef up the defense too. So no, John Dorsey.
This is not this a three-year rebuild.
Right. Who are we kidding? Stop it. Come on.
But I understand why he's trying to sort of temper extra.
And he said, "Don't believe the hype." Well,
you don't want to do.
You know how long Browns fans have been waiting for any kind of hype?
Right.
But you also, but I get it because you don't want to do the Rex Ryan thing.
I'm about coming in here. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, and you were there covering the team, and so I was there too.
Yeah,
golden years.
He came in. We'll get to that team in a second. Rex Ryan came in and said, "You know, he wasn't here to kill this Belichick's rings." And
you want to be where expectations are sky high.
And let's be fair. I mean, they went to back-to-back AFC Championship games in his
with
first
Eric Mangini's players, but okay.
That's actually
and
a good
Mark
point.
Sanchez at quarterback. That's
fair, but again,
that's
another organization.
Point. That's a good point.
That moved up and said, "That's our guy." Mm-hmm. They moved up from 16. They moved up 12 spots. To get him at 5. They took him at 5.
Or 5.
So I applaud. You may disagree whether Mark Sanchez off of 1 year as a starter,
but they were
whatever.
This
USC,
is not a rebuild.
But this is our guy. Right. And had they not started tinkering with the other stuff and not wanting to pay Fanica, or not wanting to you know what I mean? Like maybe that team could have continued.
Broke through.
But yes, I agree that to me, Kitchens is similar to Rex, not with the super loud bravado, but Kitchens is himself. Like he'll tell you what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And he's super confident. Like Baker on video did this, I was like, you know, you did the Dorsey impression, you know, with the glasses and you're like, buddy boy, you know, he did that. And I was like, so do a Kitchens, you know, impression. He's like, oh, well, it's kind of redneck. And he hates when I use that word. But he's like, you know, you got the hands and you stick out your belly like this. And it's just like, you know, so but the thing about Kitchens is like he's got this heavy Southern accent and And one thing Dorsey was like, don't mistake that Southern accent. Like, this man doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he is very smart. And he believes in himself. And he's sort of like, F it. I don't have to convince you that I'm good. I don't, like, as a coach, like, I don't. Because I even said to him, why is a 40-something-year-old coach who's never been a head coach before, why, and you've had jobs upon job, why are you the right guy? And he's like, I don't have to convince you a shit. You know what I mean? And I love it. Because that, it's weird. It's like, I wouldn't describe them as a motley crew of guys, but it's like each guy that's here from Dorsey, fired by the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. After taking Patrick Mahomes, there were issues internally about how he did the job. Okay. He's got something to prove. Whether all these guys want to admit it, they all individually have something to prove. Mm-hmm. Kitchens, 40-something years old, never been a head coach. Can he be the guy? Baker, was last year a fluke? In year two, can you be as good as we think you are? Odell, you never won with the Giants. You got all, really?
Can you turn this around?
You know what I mean? Like, Odell, really, off of that one-handed catch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's lived off of that one-handed catch for a long time. He is phenomenal talent, but he's hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And he hurts himself with the extra stuff that he does.
Right.
The leaving, I was dehydrated, I don't drink water. Now, I will not kill him 100% for that because I don't like drinking water myself. That's a separate podcast. Ooh.
Different voices.
Oh,
sorry, let me just note, people who go to Syracuse don't drink water.
Okay,
so anyway.
Moving on from this.
Wait, I thought that was
Syracuse. No, he's just being a jerk.
You brought up the word dysfunction, so you know where we're going with this.
Doo-doo, I was there.
Okay. We're getting music now, too?
Sorry. Man. I'm in a good place, man. I'm going on vacation soon.
Is this the last thing, work-related?
Oh, no, I got some work. Okay. I got some work.
I thought it would be the last thing you do before you go, okay, on vacation.
No, I got, yeah.
End of the week. Now I'm like, how are you going to be when you come back from vacation? Because I know.
Angry. Annoyed.
No.
Angry.
No, 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 no. Angry. We're not going to tell the people where you're going, but I know where you're going. Yes. And you're going to have a lovely time there.
I'm going to have a lovely time.
You're going to have a lovely time there.
Yes.
Yeah, if you come back and you're angry, I'm going to be mad at you. I'm going to be angry at you.
No, I'm going to be angry when I land at Newark Airport. Like, ah, oh, damn. Like,
it's over.
It is a pretty
back to the Browns. Feelings.
You're like, ugh, back to the grind. Yeah, okay, right, but we're enjoying this happy place, right?
Yes.
So, dysfunction.
Yeah.
You're going to make it an unhappy place. Thanks.
No, we're going to be happy about this. We're going to laugh about this. I'm not going to be unhappy.
No, don't laugh at the Jets fans.
Are you still a Jet fan? No, just continue.
That might take me to
unhappy place. Just continue. I don't even think you need to answer that any better than that.
I texted you after shocking news of McKagan being fired.
And I was in Cleveland watching practice. And I was like, wait, what?
Okay, no. That was going to be my question. I was wondering, was it also shocking to, like, media members? There was no...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my thing is, again, Jets fans, I don't know why some of them want to get on me. I just speak the truth as I see it.
That's your defending yourself voice.
I said, yes. I am totally innocent here. Why am I met with such animosity, Jets fans? I said... Y'all should have gotten rid of McKagan with Todd Bowles, and it would have been good.
I saw that tweet, and I happen to agree.
Yeah. We actually said this on a recent podcast. Like, normally when you bring in a different GM, they want to hire a different coach or vice versa, whatever.
Please, can you
I just to
explain
me,
that to me, please?
I still don't get it. And what made it worse was, and again, Jets fans, I'm not killing the team. I'm saying let's live in reality a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You get rid of the head coach.
Yep.
And the problem is, fans often want to hang on the words that are said publicly by coaches and the GMs and the front office guys.
Yeah.
Not taking into account that a lot of that is bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That is my like.
So then they get angry at the middleman, in this case.
They get
the
mad
media.
When it's like, oh, but that's not what they said. It's like, I don't really care
what
they
said. Why did you buy that? Why did
like,
you believe
focus
that?
Focus on what is done.
Fan
right?
is okay. for fanatic.
So, December, McKagan should have been out of here, right? Then, and especially in an off season where he had all this money to spend to upgrade your team, and management was not sure about, they weren't sold on him, right? But
on,
they still, on
McKagan,
right?
Yeah.
Still, but it's like, oh, maybe things will get better.
Could you explain to me another situation where you would not be sold on a person doing the job and then you would say, hey, take all this money and
exactly,
spend it?
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah, that's just business.
Exactly. And then, not just all this money, y'all have the third pick.
Yo, yes, that's
yeah,
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A big, I won't say franchise changing decision, but a decision that affects
no,
the
No, but, I mean,
that's
like,
big.
Yeah.
That's big.
You're in any draft, you're planning on getting a cornerstone at three,
because
no matter the position.
Like at three, like those, like that to me, you might know who's going one, but like in that 2-3 range, it's like, we have a guy that could be here potentially. For like a cornerstone piece,
yeah.
You, if the scouting's right, you should hit it, right?
Yeah. Shout out to RJ Barrett, your boy.
But not only that, let the man hire a coach too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's sort of like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Damn. And Dexter got a green polo. That's crazy.
Oh,
that was
Sento.
Not planned. It's not even. It's not even the same kind of drink. Green
are you sure?
Well, they changed their uniform.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Uniforms.
I mean, you know what? A lot of stuff changed up with the Jets.
The uniform.
A lot of stuff changed up, Kim.
Do you like the new uniforms, by the way? Sidetrack.
Uh-uh. No? I don't like that stripe. What are we doing with the stripe?
I didn't mind it.
Nah.
I think it'll grow.
Nah.
Okay.
The blacks are okay, I guess.
I'm glad you said it.
A lot of people around the NFL saying that, too.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the uniform. I love the helmets, though. Love the helmets.
I think that's what I like about the uniform.
I see, when they have the color rush, like, I hate the uniforms, but I'm like, just use
the
helmet,
is
all the time.
Okay, but back to McKagan.
McKagan had no business being here. And what gets me is the power structure with the Jets. Hmm. I do not believe that power structure works with the Jets. Like, and the power structure is... GM, head coach on the same level, and they report independently to the owner, CEO right now. Before it was Woody Johnson, now he's off with Trump, and now like it's Christopher Johnson, his brother, right? So
another reason for Dexter to not be a fan of the team.
I ain't gonna speak on that. but yes.
You kind of spoken it by just saying that. Got you.
So
that's your I'm not going to speak on that point.
But you know how I feel.
Yo, how many voices? You have a voice for everything.
I
have a
lot. I honestly feel like I should voice cartoons. If I could, like, always, I really think
or just
I
start
should...
a podcast called The Million Voices of Kimberly
I
Martin.
I
feel like I could do it, too. I always do these different voices my daughter, she finds quite entertaining. We'll do that another podcast sometime. Well,
no, because you've done a couple of these. You've done them off-air.
Yeah.
And they're you have one. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Maybe we should do a podcast
maybe
together.
Maybe that, it sounds
in
like
different
that's
voices?
A different, that's what a podcast am... special that you guys should.
Maybe you'll come back another podcast. We'll just do voices.
That's all we're going
to
do on
Kimberly.
The show.
Yeah. We'll just have talk, an I'll talk to voices cartoon. And just like throw insults at Syracuse and Kimberly. And yeah, it'd be pretty good.
I'm going to let it go because I'm
people don't
gonna
drink water. Just, you know.
Well, I mean, look, college football is 3 months away.
We'll see.
College basketball right after that. Yeah. So, you know. Is Pitt supposed to be good this year, Syracuse football?
Silence
in the room.
Silence on
I mean,
different
because
things.
Because
your school don't got a football
as
team.
As much as we want to get on each other about whose team is better, I mean, we both know they're just not really good. But,
right now.
You're not, it's not
and
a good
I'm,
time.
I can't
it's
even, I'm not even going to talk
so
about
you,
basketball.
So you saved the trash talking for basketball season.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, and it's like the other way around for me. 100%. Like, I couldn't say anything. I could say anything in football season.
Y'all getting better.
But we are, but I couldn't say anything. And remember this year, was the last time I saw you? The last time you were up here.
We were about to play each other.
Yeah, and then what happened? The Saturday happened. And you had the audacity to send me a text. Like, we were winning, and I was going to text her in the second half, and I was going to tweet her, and I didn't do it. And then
the universe was
they
like,
ended
Dutch,
up,
don't
they
send that
ended
tweet.
Up not doing anything. No, and you tweeted out at me and put, like, how about that pick game? Dexter Henry, haha, some kind of meme.
Damn, with the last name too?
No, she just put my
oh,
Twitter mention.
So you
called,
okay.
And I was like, yo, damn, I thought she was going to let me slide, though.
No. Mm-mm.
I really thought she was going to be, I was like, yo, you know, I didn't even text her, I didn't come at her. She's going
to
let me be.
Come at you, yeah.
No, she did not forget. No.
I mean, she
was like, we just did this podcast last week, I was coming for you.
I mean, y'all were bantering about this up here.
But I didn't think
it was going to
slide
off.
I thought because of the kind person that she generally is, she was going to be like, yo, it was a tough loss. You guys were kind of beating us the whole way at home. And I'm gonna just
no,
let
I think I sent like a hair flip gif or something. Like, I know I did something.
That's
extra.
Actually what it was.
Hair I feel like gif. It was like,
oh, so you
how
decided
you
to go extra. You decided
oh, no.
to go extra.
Oh, yeah, because I know there are only so many teams that my terrible team can beat. And when it's Pitt, come on now, you can't let that go. You can't. But I digress. I mean, you know.
But okay, not to dysfunction of
my
our
coach
teams.
Did
but...
run over somebody, so.
Accidentally. I feel bad for him.
Yeah,
and he got a standing
I'm not gonna
ovation.
Make a joke about that.
Which was interesting.
It was not a good year for us last year.
Agreed. But it's not been good times for the Jets.
No,
again.
No.
You when that column you wrote, you talked about the thing that really needed to change for the team was ownership. Like if you
oh yeah, so that on Yahoo Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said what I said. Yeah. I mean, because here's the thing, and it has nothing. It's none of this is personal, right? Like, I have no issues. Like, I think Christopher Johnson seems like a nice man who wants to do the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between wanting to do the job well and being actually able to do the job. And one thing that should have bothered Jets fans, if you're going to take what is said publicly at face value, he was like, Christopher said, you know, it's only, you know, within the last couple months or couple weeks that, like, I felt like I needed, like, I took a more active role in looking at what's happening. What? Now, here's my thing. Like,
shouldn't you always be?
And here's like you've
or
taken
wasn't
over.
That and he's just trying to save his ass.
Exactly. So, but again, taking everything at face value,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
You took over a team from your brother. You don't know anything about running a football team, really. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, it's imperative. You're already behind the eight ball, and it's imperative that you get up to speed real quick and understand. Yeah. Okay. Who's here? Who's the GM? Who's the head coach? How are they working together? Being in the building. Because, and also, when I say the Jets structure does not work for the Jets, like, if you, like, it's done so the GM and head coach aren't tied together so that you just toss out both at the same time. And, like, if the GM makes bad moves, like, that shouldn't be, like, the coach shouldn't bear the brunt of that. You know, you should be able to evaluate them both independently. And while I get that intellectually, if you are going to have that structure, then you need to be involved way more from jump. Not just 2 months or a month before the draft or a month before, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not the time where Christopher Johnson should have realized, I need to really know what's going on here. Like, he realized Todd Bowles should have been fired, right? He was able to see that. There's enough evidence that showed you Maccagnan was overmatched in this role as GM. Mm-hmm. I like the guy. Great guy. But he did not do a good enough job, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he came in that first year when they went 10-6 and barely missed the playoffs because Fitzmagic turned Fitztragic, yep, in Buffalo. That year when they were able to restock and reload that secondary was because Idzik had stockpiled all that money and not spent it during the Rex years. So Maccagnan came in with all this money and he spent it and they almost made the playoffs. Since then, the rosters have not been good enough. The draft picks have not been good enough.
Yep.
You take Christian Hackenberg, you don't deserve a job. With the second round, you don't deserve to have a job. You don't. And that's just being real. So to me, there's enough evidence where this man should have been gone with Todd.
But because, you let him spend all this money.
Okay.
All the stuff.
And I know for a fact they were not happy with him. But they were like, okay, maybe let's wait and see. Maybe, okay.
Wait till when?
It's like, okay, not sure if he's the guy, but maybe, you know, maybe it was just the Todd-Mike pairing. Maybe that was it. You know, maybe the Gase, you know, this will be better. And then within like a month or two, it's like, oh, no, this is terrible too.
So then what does that tell you, Kim? What was the final straw here that made them say, okay, now we got to do this? Or is it the reports that we've heard where there was some internal strife between him and Crazy Eyes?
I mean, the fact that Gase stood up there and was like, I know nothing, man.
Stop it. I
was Christopher's call. Like, to me, again, Jets fans, if you're being objective here, if you take everything they say at face value, you're telling me that you're the new head coach. They're so excited you're here. You are the guy who's going to help win games and turn the Jets around. But management is not telling you that it wants to get rid of the GM until management has already made the decision. Like, that to me is just very hard to fathom.
Also, think about how that sounds if you take out the football element.
But it's like, you don't matter.
Right, you don't care about me.
You don't matter. It's sort of like, what are you saying? Are you saying, like, you matter so little that your opinion isn't taken into account?
Uh-huh.
No, that can't be it, because right now you are involved. You're the interim GM.
Ugh.
And you were involved in creating the list of guys that will be interviewed. But, it's just Christopher. Christopher will make the decision on the GM. And it's sort of like...
Who would want that job? Seriously speaking, at this point, right now, it's no different.
Yeah. Here's the problem. It's no different than when the Jets fired Mike Tannenbaum and kept Rex. That's how they ended up with John Idzik, because... Mm-hmm. Probably more qualified guys are looking at that situation like, wait a second. You want to hire me as GM but are telling me who the coach is going to be?
Nah.
I don't want that.
Right.
And if you are somebody who's in a position... So look, I don't know where Maccagnan will end up, but it's a lot harder for the personnel guys to get that rebound job if you've been fired off of losing seasons, as opposed to a head coach. Look, Rex got a job in like 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gase got a job in 9 days. Like,
yep.
Todd got, now granted, he's not a head coach, but he got a job real quick.
Yep.
And
you know what I mean?
Another head coaching job or something.
Right. So to me, it's just sort of like with the GMs and the front office guys, you have to be even more selective because you don't get the same second chances that these coaches get.
Yep.
So if you are looking at, I understand some of these GM jobs don't come up a lot, but you got to love the situation, because once you get in, there, the Jets organization, it's a load. And right now, Gase, who, like, in these 4 months, what are we, in May? So...
Mm-hmm.
In the 5 months since he's been the head coach, he's living it up as far as who's the most powerful right now. Like, he's got, like, plausible deniability. I didn't know that they were going to fire that guy. Like, I was told like the rest of you. I didn't know. And it's like, I had nothing to do with that. Really? That, like, just based on, like, as a New Yorker, like, who is skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it. Like, this does not make sense.
But we thank you for coming and joining us here again.
Thank you.
We're going to go take a vacation. We don't know when we're going to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully you'll come back on at some point. We'll work something through the NFL season.
You know, I may have, who knows, may have another job. Who knows? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. I'm playing. I'm totally playing.
Yo,
I'm
you're
totally
trying
playing.
To piss
I'm
everybody
totally
off.
Playing. No, I'm
They're
staying put
so
for a while.
Mad.
Yeah,
They're going to
no.
be so mad at you.
No, I can't take moving again.
Yo, could you, like, if you do get another job, could you, like, give me the scoop first? So that I could so drop, I could break it like a Woj bomb.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And be like, yo. Sources told me that Source she's moving higher to her ceiling and doesn't want any of you guys to be mad. Nah, it's cool. We know you're not going anywhere. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you.
Oh, we got to do numbers before you go.
Oh right. So I was looking at last time. Last time was actually Levon Hernandez. And that was also very confusing because like we couldn't find a football player who was good at 61. But now we're in 81, and there are a lot of wide receivers.
No, I was going to say – oh, wait.
Is there
Quincy Enunwa 81?
Quincy Enunwa is 81.
Yeah, but
is he who pops with mind for you when you think of 81? He's the first person you thought of?
Is that not terrible?
Too many years around the Jets.
It's.
I was going to say that.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
That's, I need a vacation.
Okay, can we just give a better number?
Shout out to Quincy Enunwa.
No, yeah, no disrespect to Quincy.
No, Quincy. I love
Quincy's
Quincy.
Quincy's a great dude.
Yeah,
I love Quincy.
But it ain't going to be you. Tim Brown.
Possible.
No, it's not going to be for you. Watch. Art Monk.
Nope.
Anquan Boldin.
Nope.
Damn, all right, guys.
Kim showed me no emotion there.
Calvin Johnson.
Very possible.
Jackie Smith. Do you remember who that is?
No.
Me neither. Okay, cool. Amani Toomer.
Ah, wow. Good good guy. Covered
I'm,
all
like,
the time.
Shocked that Quincy's the first name that comes to my head. I'm
yeah.
like,
you know what? Prepare to get more shocked because next is Torrey Holt.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love Torrey Holt.
He
those
used,
Rams
he used to. He used to murder me in Madden, bro. Oh my God. Like,
yeah.
He used to kill me in Madden when I was little. I used to hate him so much when I was a kid. Dick Night Train Lane wore 81.
Don't know who that is.
Really? I've heard the name a bunch of times.
Yeah. Yeah, have you?
I've heard the name, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Night Train? That's.
Yeah.
I like that nickname.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder why it's Dick and the Night Train, but that's interesting. Terrell wow. Owens.
Oh, my God.
Terrell wow. Owens.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant, because he had
81 points
in that game. You're a big Kobe fan.
I am.
I thought you would
what
go
are you going?
For
what are you going with, Kim? Who are you going with?
T.O. Maybe.
I like T.O. Okay. It's between him or Calvin.
It's,
so.
That's what it comes down to.
I was thinking too. Yeah.
What do you have?
T.O. or Calvin?
Okay, so everybody's going to say T.O. or Calvin.
Dark Horse Torrey Holt.
Do we put because... both of them on? Let's go. Terrell Owens. Yeah. We should give him some love because he did not go and make a speech in Canton. So let's give him some
he
love.
He was
here.
Also on the cover of the best football game ever, NFL 2K5.
Everything comes back to a video game.
I can see that.
Listen,
yeah,
listen. I grew up on
and
that.
And it's not the best NFL game ever.
Yes, it is.
All right.
NFL 2K5 is the best football game
it's
ever.
It's not. Kim, one last question.
What is the best football game then?
Oh, I'm not talking video games anymore. Oh. Before you go, anything good you're listening to in hip-hop nowadays?
No.
No.
All right, we'll end it there.
We'll end it right there.
No, isn't that terrible? I'm still ODing on Beyonce's Homecoming Live. Like
I still haven't even watched it.
I haven't watched it, but I'm listening to the songs. Driving.
Damn, you kind of remind me how to watch that. Okay, I got to do that.
I got to watch.
That's okay. So you're a big Beyonce fan. What did you think of Jemele Hill's engagement video? Did you see that?
Okay. I'm going to have to go and tell Jeff, like, yo, we need to...
Yo, you got
to
step it up, right?
Need effort. You know, this is year five. July will be 5 years we're together.
Congratulations.
Married. So we're going to have to renew the vows and do, like, a whole montage or something. No, that was great.
It was fly. It was dope.
It was great. I'm like, oh, my God. Jemele is literally living her best life, and I am loving watching it.
Yo, yeah, me too.
Loving it.
Me too. So happy for her. Like, no, but did you see that video?
Yeah,
it was dope. It was really well done.
It was two, though.
It was two.
There was like, I didn't see the first one.
The one she did to Ape Shit,
Beyonce
and Jay. And then
but then
another part
the one starts
song.
Outside the library.
Yeah, and that they merged the two together. They dissolved the songs, but so it's part
of
one. But it's really nice. Both parts are really nice.
I mean, she is just.
No, it was dope. It was really good. Well done. It
I'm
was
very
dope.
Happy for her.
All right, 5 years. You better drop that video. Pressure on you now. If you don't, I'm going to look at Jeff. I tell Jeff I said hello, and I'll be like, Jeff. Yeah, you gotta drop that video.
He'd be like, oh, yeah, let's do a Def Leppard talk. Let's do something.
Sounds like you're not vibing with that. Okay. All right.
Well, On that happy note,
because Kimberly's living her best life and is about to go and enjoy a vacation. Kim, thank you for coming up again and hanging with us. We really appreciate it. It's always a good time with you. My favorite NFL writer. one of the few people from Syracuse that I actually like.
I appreciate that.
Just continue the great work you're doing and keep climbing up to that ceiling,
thank
no
you.
Matter how mad they are. That's all. All right, that's it for episode 81 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. We are calling this the Terrell Owens episode. I'm Dexter Henry. He's Brian Fonseca.
Yeah.
For the great Kimberly Martin.
Buy merch.
Yeah, buy merch, subscribe, support, do all those things. Next time we got to get Kimberly Ain't Hard to Tell.
We have tote bags. Like,
and mugs that Kimberly enjoyed drinking her water out of.
And notebooks.
And notebooks. All that stuff. Thanks for the support, Kim. Thanks again to you. Until next time, y'all. Peace.